couple of things. To the people on the left hand or on the right hand side of the church, I'm still over here. For those who are sitting in the middle or in the darkness, maybe today you'll see a great light. A little biblical humor. But just a little bit of an update on where we are as far as the project is concerned. You can see that the center lights are out, obviously, and that's because we have to reroute some wires. When we took down the wall that is up above us here, there was nowhere on the architectural drawings that there were wires in the wall. So we had to move those wires, and that set us back a little bit. But what we were able to do is we were able to get the electrician to come in, and they're going to be able to reroute the wires this week, which is good news. Nowhere on the plans did the wires appear there, so that set us back a little bit. But for those of you, as you came into the church today, I hope you saw a glimpse of the window and how it's going to look once everything is done. I think it's going to be pretty spectacular. And that's even with a protective film over it now, and you can still see how bright it's going to be as we proceed along. And I think the plan is to put a smaller protective film on it, but it's going to be quite beautiful. So that's an update. And hopefully we'll be done with the temporariness of the altar and everything in time for when the Archbishop comes to confirm our candidates for confirmation. We shall see. More on that later. But Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to everyone. As we wind down the Christmas season, we celebrate the Feast of the Epiphany today, otherwise known as Little Christmas. And dutifully, my wife and I began taking down the Christmas tree earlier this morning. But I hope that as you reflect upon this season, you will truly find that it was a blessed one for you, that you built lots of family memories, but more importantly, that you took some quality time to reflect upon your own relationship with the Lord, and how you can truly carry the message of Christmas to those around you. The message of Christmas does not need to pass just because the holiday season is drawing to a close. But this message does not need to be wrapped up with all the other decorations and put in a box, only to be dusted off in another 48 weeks as we approach next Christmas season. Rather, this message of this Christmas must be relived over and over again and brought to a world that so desperately needs to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. If we are successful in sharing this message, the miracle which took place in Bethlehem some 2,000 years ago will truly be heard. For God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, chose to come amongst us. His incarnation, the Word made flesh, was and still is a reality which will forever change the world. In Advent, we prepared ourselves for his coming again into our lives, and during Christmas, we welcomed him again into our lives. But should we ever truly stop preparing ourselves spiritually to receive him, and what have we really been preparing ourselves for? Scripture reminds us that we celebrate the fact that our Lord chose to become one of us, and he chose to share in our humanity. As John puts it, the Word was indeed made flesh. God, through his incarnation, entered the world to live as we live, to suffer as we suffer. God knew very well how we as humans operate, and he knew we needed a physical sign to see him in the flesh, someone who we could touch and listen to and learn from. So God sent his only Son so that we might share in his eternal life. Our Redeemer came to bring us new life, and he manifested his divinity in his willingness to share in our humanity. He came for every one of us because he deemed us to be worthy of his love. His birth is like no other celebrated throughout all of history. And today the gospel reveals that it was to certain wise men that he chose to reveal not only the essence of his humanity, but the fullness of his divinity. And the great thing about today's readings is that image of light, which is so prevalent, even in the darkness in our church now. Isaiah tells us that your light has come. The glory of the Lord shines upon you. Upon you, the Lord shines. And then he reminds us that nations will walk by your light. Isaiah goes on to say that people will come from afar. Now, that's not from afar here in Georgia, but from afar. Bringing gifts of gold and frankincense and proclaiming his praises. See, Paul reminds us, too, that we all share in his ministry and that all of humanity has been promised this gift of being co-heirs with the Jews. But this gift, not only do we become members of the same body, that is, we also share in the responsibilities, namely that we must share this good news to the whole world. And we recall vividly how it was that Paul received his great gift. He was at first blinded by that great light and knocked to the ground. Now hopefully our eyes will be opened from our own spiritual darkness without the necessity of being blinded by that great light and knocked to the ground. But I dare say that for some of us, we may need that in order for us to truly open our eyes to the gift we have before us. Now, can you imagine yourself in the scene with the wise men? How the light of the star must have been so great that it changed the course of their behavior. Now, personally, I've seen some great lights. I've seen some lights shooting across the heavens. But none would probably compare to the magnitude of this light. And can you imagine their excitement as the wise men when they approached Herod with their inquiry? And just as importantly, can you imagine the fear and trepidation which Herod must have experienced upon hearing this? See, both knew the prophecies contained in the scriptures of where this king was to be born. Yet each experienced this encounter with God in a very different way. Notice that the gospel says they came from the east to follow the star to the west in the hopes of finding the king. And we know that Herod felt threatened by this because as king of Judea, he did not want to share his power with anyone else. Dr. Scott Hahn, in his book, Joy to the World, which I will certainly lend to anybody. I just finished this book, and he refers back to St. John Chrysostom, who describes this light as follows. He says, this star was different than all others. He says it came from the north to the south, not like the sun, which travels from the east to the west. It was visible also during the day, but not always. The star seemed to descend from heaven and hovered over the Holy Family's house. Now, here, as the Magi approached to find the true King of Kings, they found him with his mother Mary in their home. Now, Joseph was no doubt fairly close or was working or whatever he was doing, but no doubt he was close by when the Magi came. And they found him in Bethlehem with his mother and brought to him their gifts and did him homage. As a footnote, many of you know that Bethlehem translates as the house of bread. And again, Christ, our bread of life, is there found in his home. The gifts which they brought were rightfully belonging to a king. But it's also noted that these particular gifts were also used in Jewish worship. And what's important about that is that the Magi, who were not Jews themselves, were bringing gifts to the King of the Jews. So what gifts do we bring to the King as we approach him when we receive him in the Eucharist, the true bread which is given for us? What gifts do we bring to our worship? Now, it may sound trite, and you have all heard it before, but the saying goes as this, Our life is a gift from God, and what we do with it is our gift to Him. God wants and expects from each of us the gift of our hearts, the gift of our very lives. He gave us this gift of life so that we could use it to glorify Him in all that we do. Each time we come to Mass, we are to lay down our gifts to Him at His altar before we receive Him in the Eucharist. Now, many of you, probably like me, questioned why God would choose to come to us in this manner. Why would Jesus come to earth to share in our humanity? And why did Jesus choose a life that could only end in pain? I believe the answer is quite simple. It all boils down to love. The love that He had for each and every one of us, which is beyond our human understanding. It is a love that's so compelling and yet so inviting that He came to be our shining light in our darkness. But as we receive Him today, we are also empowered to share Him and His love. We, like the Blessed Mother Mary, are the current Christ bearers to today's world. Mary was given the title Theotokos, which means the God bearer. We too share her responsibility, not as she did with her heart and her womb, but we must share Christ with our heart and by the way we live our entire lives. We must be the gift bearers of Christ's good news to others. And we are called upon to be the light, the stars shining in the darkness, from every mountaintop, to be the light to the world. So Thomas, if I can get some assistance from the choir, we're going to have a little lesson 101 as we tell you how we are going to share this. So, go tell it on the mountains, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountains that Jesus Christ is born. Now all join us. Go tell it on the mountains, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountains that Jesus Christ is born. So as we continue to celebrate this holy and special day, let us be thankful that God chose each of us to share the gift of Himself with us, to guide us, to teach us, and to love us in order that we may share eternity with Him. May we truly honor His gift by sharing the gift of our lives with those around us. For then, the true message of Christmas will truly live on.